Hey, Marcus, thank you. It's nice to have you back doing worship with us this morning. And it's nice to see all of you here today. It is the last kind of official weekend of summer. And we've certainly felt summer here in our area. There were some hot days just recently. There's also this phenomenon at church where it kind of feels like we tag each other in and out. And so some people have been here fairly regularly, but some of you I haven't seen in quite a while. And it's because you've been busy and going places, or your schedule won't allow you to be here. And it almost just kind of feels like as we're passing in and out of the building that we're kind of like, oh, tag, you're in this week. I know a number of people are wrapping up their holiday vacations, but thank you all for being here and wrapping it up with us here at New Vision. We are a church that is a place where we want people to find hope, and we want people to find a place where they belong. And I pray and I hope that you feel the belonging in this community. And we're seeking God together, and we're doing his work together. And it is a good place to be, and I'm glad to be here with you on a Saturday evening. And I'm getting used to saying Saturday evening. Those of you who haven't been here for a while, you'll be astounded that I'll probably say evening instead of morning all the time. So, you know, progress is being made right before our very eyes. We are in the midst of our summer giving drive. We do this annually, and what we do is just bring our offering and our tithes to God and let him fill up the storehouse so that we are able to share with those in need in a couple of different ways. One is that we can share benevolently, which is when people are in need, we have the ability to share. The other is that we are focusing on missions so that we can help other people go on mission trips. We had three people this summer go on a mission trip. We should be hearing from them in a couple weeks about their experience. And we also want to have the ability to help just those who are in the mission field when a need arises. And we do hear of those. And for whatever reason, God has blessed this body to be able to assist when those needs arise. As Marcy and I were praying before service, the way I kind of saw this church is almost like we're like a little ant. Ants can lift so much more than their body weight than you would expect. And God has done that for us in miraculous ways. He has asked this body to do some amazingly heavy lifting. And it doesn't even feel heavy to us because he does come along beside us and give us what we need to be able to carry the load he has in particular for us to carry. So this being our third week of the giving drive, the slide that's up right now is letting you know that we have the offer of a dollar-to-dollar match up to $2,500. And thus far, for the 2 weeks that we've had the giving drive, we have brought in $1,150. So we still have some room to grow so that our $2,500 of giving will turn into $5,000 this year. So I wanted to share that with you all so that you are equipped to bring whatever God is telling you to this giving drive. And of course, there is a financial aspect to a giving drive, our annual drive. But we do not want to err in forgetting that there is a spiritual aspect that is far more important when it comes to giving and Jesus in our lives than just financially. Now, we have a key verse that we've focused on, and we're going to continue focusing on the rest of the giving drive, and you're going to find it in your program. If you have not gotten a program this week, will you just raise your hand and we'll make sure you get one? We might have got everybody covered this week. So when you open your program, you're first going to come across your connection card. You can put that aside for right now. And then a sheet of paper that on the top says return on investment. And we're doing these kind of detailed sermon notes for this series rather than PowerPoint so that we can just be more participatory in our time of teaching. So what we want to do is read together Luke 6:38, because that is our verse for this series. So let's do that right now. Give and you will receive. Your gift will return to you in full, pressed down, shaken together to make room for more, running over and poured into your lap. The amount you give will determine the amount you get back. The first week of our giving drive, we just took the very first word of that verse, give, and realized that there was a comma after that, a moment for us to breathe, and we just looked at give. And we looked at two different ways to give, and first and foremost, the most important is surrender to God. Surrendering all that we have and all that we are to God. That is what God really desires us to give to Him, ourselves, our lives, actually give back to Him because He gave us life in the first place. The other way we talked about giving was financially. We went into some detail about options for the giving drive. And then last week, we focused on the rest of that sentence, and you will receive. And so what we called that was cause and effect, that our actions result in a response from God. We ended our time with a discussion about Malachi 3:10, and I'm going to read that to you just as a reminder. It says, bring all the tithes into the storehouse, so there will be enough food in my temple. If you do, says the Lord of heaven's armies, I will open the windows of heaven for you. I will pour out a blessing so great you won't have enough room to take it in. Try it. Put me to the test. So what we realized is that there was a cause, which was we were to bring our tithes into the storehouse so that there'd be enough food in my temple. So in other words, bring our tithes, which is a percentage of our income. A tithe is 10%. We're being challenged if we don't tithe or if we tithe a small amount to choose a percentage that's maybe 1 or 2 percentages higher than what we've been giving, and to actually bring our tithe into the warehouse, storehouse, and to also give offerings above a tithe, the percentage we choose, to benevolence or missions. And so we realized that the cause is that we are giving to God so that there's enough food in my temple, meaning we have the means that we need in order to be the church Jesus calls us to be, which goes deeper than just us gathering on Saturday evenings or paying my salary, or paying for continuing education, or that sort of thing, paying for our space to rent. It goes beyond that because we go much deeper. In fact, just 2 days ago, I received another call from a community person who does not go to our church, but is part of this larger community in Washington County, asking for assistance with rent. This happens regularly, and God has equipped us because we are bringing our tithes and offerings to the storehouse so that there is enough food in my temple. The food in the temple is meeting the needs that He's calling us to do. And then the result of that, He says, is that He's going to open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing upon us that we won't have enough room to take it in. And it said, try it, put me to the test. And those who were here last week said, yeah, I'll put Him to the test. And I just want to take a moment to ask if anyone would like to share about that experience. Did you remember to put God to the test? And if you did, do you have a testimony about what the outcome of that was? And we might not, because some of you were tagged in this week, and those who were here were tagged out, and they're camping or traveling across the country right now. I gave to the giving drive, and my circumstances have changed a bit in the last year, but I gave about the same amount that my husband and I used to give every year. And I chose to do that out of faith and also out of obedience. But because I mentioned a couple weeks ago, I had been wheeling and dealing, and I had been selling vehicles and buying some new vehicles. And God had blessed me enough with being able to sell my truck and my RV and my car to buy another vehicle for myself, but to have some extra money left over. And I realized that wasn't income. It's not taxed. And it was for value of the items I had. Rather than driving my truck in through our garage door, I chose to give to our giving drive. And it was a bit of a stretch for me, partly because my husband made a lot more money than I do. So my circumstances have changed a lot this year, so I'm being stretched. But I saw his blessing. When I got ready to write my tithe check this morning, and I was going through actually paying bills and that sort of thing, to see that my first paycheck from George Fox arrived. Last week I shared that I had been asked to be an adjunct professor at George Fox University, freshman class, Theology 101, 102 in the spring. And I've worked one day, you guys. I worked last Wednesday. But the way things are broken down, it turns out, I get a full paycheck starting in August. That was a blessing. That was an unexpected blessing. And so I just want to testify right now that I brought my offering and that God brought back to me an unexpected blessing. First of all, the fact that he's asked me to teach and to have a little supplement to my income is a huge blessing. And then to have it be like, you know, here you go. Good job, my faithful servant. You went there on Wednesday. You put your neck out along with these other freshmen. I'm not a freshman. Along with these freshmen in college who were putting their necks out last week. It was their first week in school. And God blessed me with that. So that's my testimony. That's my example of saying, God, I'm going to put you to the test. I'm going to do what you've asked me to do in the past and just wait and see. And he comes through. We need to remember, though, that we don't give in order to get a reward, right? We give because God's asked us to surrender all. And he gives back to us out of his goodness. So what return on our kingdom investment can we expect? So today, we're going to go a little further in our verse, our key verse, Luke 6:38, and we're going to look at the part that is actually italicized on your sheet, where it says, your gift will return to you in full. We're going to explore what it means through a sermon called Return on Investment. We're going to start at the beginning. We're going to start at the beginning and make a statement that God made an investment. And God made an investment by giving humans value, by making us in his image. The next verse on our sheet is Genesis 1:27. And it says, so God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them. God created human beings in his image. God's image is magnificent. It's beautiful, it's wonderful, it's powerful. We just sang about it right before I came up here. There were all sorts of words describing God. To think and see that we are made in his image means that we possess the same value. He gave human beings value. Then I want to skip to Psalm 8. And I'm actually going to read the entire psalm, even though we only have a few verses on our sheet, but we'll refer back to that. If you have your Bible and want to look up the psalm, feel free, or if you use a device for your Bible, feel free to do that. And whatever version is your preference, I use the New Living Translation almost exclusively for preaching. Usually tell you if I'm going to use something different. But this is what Psalm 8 says. O Lord, our Lord, your majestic name fills the earth. Your glory is higher than the heavens. You have taught children and infants to tell of your strength, silencing your enemies and all who oppose you. When I look at the night sky and see the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars you set in place, what are mere mortals that you should think about them, human beings that you should care for them, yet you made them only a little lower than God and crowned them with glory and honor. You gave them charge of everything you made, putting all things under their authority, the flocks and the herds and all the wild animals, the birds in the sky, the fish in the sea, and everything that swims the ocean currents. O Lord, our Lord, your majestic name fills the earth. Now on our sermon notes, we have verses 4-6. Can we reread that part again in unison? What are mere mortals that you should think about them? Human beings that you should care for them? Yet you made them only a little lower than God and crowned them with glory and honor. You gave them charge of everything you made, putting all things under their authority. We are made only a little lower than God. And these verses tell us that we are named as his stewards. We are named as the ones who are to care for everything he made. We're to care for ourselves. We're to care for each other. We're to care for all the animals. We are to care for all the earth. We are to care for the heavens and the earth. Because he made all of them, and then he made us only just a little lower than him. Did you realize that that's your place? He did not take us and put us way down on the list of his creation. He put us on the top. And then he said, I entrust in you. I trust you enough to take care of everything that I've made. We are his stewards. Giving up is about recognizing that we are going to accept our role that God has given us on behalf of himself. He created it all and he cares for it all and he controls it all. And we get to be his stewards. We get to have a relationship with him, and he's going to speak to us and show us how he wants us to partner with him in giving the best as stewards of what he's given us. I have a couple of friends. Their names are Philip and Annie, and they're on the national prayer team with me, and they were in Florida with me last month when I was tagged out. Some other people were tagged in. I was gone a lot in July, and I missed you guys immensely, but I was with some other friends and other Christians and part of the body of Christ in our kingdom. And Philip and Annie, wow, they are prayers. They are prayer warriors. And they shared a story one day about the fact that before they go places, and they use the example of the grocery store, before they even go to the grocery store, they pray. And they say, God, we know that there's something you want us to do at the grocery store today. Will you bring people alongside of us and bring us alongside of other people so that we have the opportunity to represent you and care about people in the world? I don't go to the grocery store with that mindset. And I actually forgot about it till I was preparing this sermon. And I was convicted of that, realizing that everywhere we go, we are to steward God's creation. And Philip and Annie, not because they're special or gifted in any way that we're not, because we all possess the Holy Spirit, have such a connection with God that sometimes he will say back to them, yes, you will see someone who is wearing a puffy red coat at the grocery store, and I would like you to go up and talk to that person because they need some encouragement today. That's the kind of relationship God has in mind for us. He created us in his image, and he made us just a little lower than him in order to steward everything. Now, giving up, which is the name of our series, is about really digging in and believing God at his word. And realizing that we are in this together. As long as we have breath and we wake up every day, there is a purpose that God has for us to be here. And what is that purpose? To draw closer to him in order to see his kingdom expand. And last week I talked about that. I'm not praying anymore for our church to grow. It's going to grow because we are influencing the kingdom. I'm praying for the kingdom to grow. I'm praying for Philip and Annie, that when they interact with the people that God brings into their life, that they will be touched and that they will come to know Jesus. Because we're not in this just for ourselves. We are in this for Jesus Christ and his kingdom. And that's what we're talking about giving up. We are surrendering what may be important to us, what human beings might count as success or failure. Because what we want more than anything is to care about what Jesus cares about. To steward what God gives us to steward. We are made in his image, so we represent God as stewards and guardians of his creation. We're incredibly important to the functioning of this world. And that is not to make us feel egotistical or somehow better than. It's a reality and a fact that God created us and saw our worth and then said, hey, you get to take care of all this that I created, that I said was good and is good. We are equipped with a godlike agency. What that means is that there's an intervention or an action that we can do on our part in order to produce a particular effect. Are we willing to go up to the person in the grocery store and not be like, hey, you need Jesus, you look sad today, but to actually just engage in someone's life? How are you today? And if someone chooses to share something with us that goes deeper than just a, I'm okay, how are you? We don't roll our eyes and look at our watch and think, wow, I shouldn't have asked this person how they were. They're going to talk my leg off. We're going to look at that as an opportunity. And we've talked about opportunities over the course of the summer. There's opportunities that God gives us all the time. Sometimes we miss them because we forget that God has allowed us to be his stewards. And that he has given us a godlike agency, which is to act and to influence and affect. It gives us power. It calls us to do work for the kingdom. Work is not a bad word. It's a four-letter word, I know. But sometimes we hate the idea of work. But work for God is what's going to influence the growth of the kingdom. When God created us and put man and woman in the garden, he assigned them work. We get to work with God, alongside of God. Mary Oliver, in her poem called One Summer Day, asks this question. Tell me, what is it you plan to do with your one wild and precious life? Tell me, what is it you plan to do with your one wild and precious life? If you flip over your sheet that has scripture on it, you'll find that quote there for you so that you can reflect on that. If we only lived in a perfect world, didn't I just paint a great picture? We're partnered with God. We're only a little below him. We have the ability to hear from him when he wants us to do a particular work. And we have a wild and precious life, and we get to choose what we're going to do with it. Genesis 1 and 2, and we read Genesis 1:27, talks about the creation and God's perfect plan for everything. And then we get to chapter 3. And in chapter 3, sin is seen as distorting our role in bearing God's image. You'll note also on the side that says sermon notes, so there's other scripture for study. And there's Psalm 8, Genesis 1 to 3. That's just for you guys to take home because we're digging deeper into the word this summer, especially through this giving drive and what it means to give up. So Genesis 1 through, thank you. Genesis 1 and 2 talk about creation, and they're familiar to us. And sometimes we will read those, and we'll read over them. I want to ask this week, challenge you, will you read Genesis 1 and 2 and 3? And rather than read over them, will you read through them? Will you read them with an intent to see what God is saying to you about that scripture today? Even if it's familiar, what is it that he is talking about when he talks about creating and partnering with humans? And then what did happen in chapter 3? It describes a transgression. How godly order that we see in chapters 1 and 2 becomes disordered through sin. You know, it's okay if we make mistakes. That's not sin. Sin is a corruption of who we were meant to be. Read Genesis 1 and 2 this week. It will let you know who we were meant to be. Genesis 3 begins the story of the corruption that caused us to no longer, or at least have more difficulty, being who we were meant to be. But the good news is that the Bible is full of good news. Amen? Amen. So there is a return on investment. Finally, getting to the theme of the day. Divine redemption in Jesus Christ repairs us and our agency, our ability to be godlike, to be interveners in life, to have a purpose, and to do the work that God equipped us to do. The return on investment is that the gospel is the antiserum to sin. It's meant to restore the I, us, me, you, into the reflection of the great I am. Christ is the long-term return on investment. I'm going to read a few verses, and I have not put all of these down on your sheet. I did not put Romans 5, 17 to 19 down, and you might want to add that if you want to do more Bible study later. But let me read to you from those two verses with the recognition that Christ is the long-term return on investment. For the sin of this one man, Adam, caused death to rule over many. But even greater is God's wonderful grace and his gift of righteousness. For all who receive it will live in triumph over sin and death through this one man, Jesus Christ. Yes, Adam's one sin brings condemnation, but Christ's one act of righteousness brings a right relationship with God and new life for everyone. Because one person disobeyed God, many became sinners, but because one other person obeyed God, many will be made righteous. Return on investment. God's investment in us through Christ restores us to its original design. And we find that in Romans 8. Jesus is called the firstborn of a large family. And we're that family. I did put these verses on the sheet, Romans 8, 29 to 30. For God knew his people in advance, and he chose them to become like his son, so that his son would be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And having chosen them, he called them to come to him, and having called them, he gave them right standing with himself. And having given them right standing, he gave them his glory. God's investment in us through Christ restores our original design. And we have assurance. We have assurance that what we give on Christ's behalf will have eternal return on investment. This is noted on your other scriptures for study. It's going to be familiar when I read it. It's Matthew 28, 19 to 20. Therefore, Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. We have great potential to change the world. We do that by giving up. We do that by recognizing that the return on our investment may be seen in this world. We do things out of obedience. And what I try to do and what I try to teach people to do is to leave the outcome to God. We give and we work and we share and we talk and we pray. And it's not up to us to figure out how things are going to work out. Because when we do that, we're basically taking control ourselves. And what we understand is that giving up in this surrender means that control is not ours. So I find the best thing for me to do is to say, God, the outcome is yours. I may see it in this life, but I may not see it in this life. But what I do know is that we will be certain that there is an expansion of the kingdom because we are walking in God's will. And what God says is going to happen is going to happen. And it's also going to be carried on into eternity. That's the return on investment. That's what God has bestowed upon us. I'm excited. I'm goosebumpy from talking about this, from sitting down with his word this week and recognizing the great potential that each one of us has despite how we feel, despite how Satan keeps trying to knock us down and hold us back. He does not have the last word. We have agency, God's agency, to make a difference. And when we approach life with that attitude, it can change a whole lot. Next time I'll go to the grocery store, I'm going to look for that person in the red puffy coat. I'm going to do that. Because that will transform me into being more like Christ to those around me in my life. Let's pray. God, you are good, beyond good. You are amazing and remarkable. And I stand here having been a Christian all of my adult life, yet feeling like I made a discovery this week, which is so rich and so good and so deep. God, I just feel like I have jumped into a refreshing spring that I recognize your love for me, and not just your love, but that you've placed value in me. And not just it's a value, but it's truly a calling to advance your work. And that I'm equipped to do that. I'm equipped because of you. We are all equipped because of you. Help us to drink that in, Lord God. Help us to go back to Scripture this week, to read your creation story, to see what it is that you have invested in us and what you have placed us in care of, and to claim that and take that seriously, God, so that we can see your kingdom advance. And that's what I pray in the name of Jesus with the rest of the people here, that your kingdom will be advanced, Lord Jesus, and that your will and this world will be done and changed because we are walking with you and you're working through us. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.